Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 99 for the week of February 15th, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. We have a fairly short podcast this week. Owing to a quirk of the calendar, there just isn't all that much to talk about. Also, we're coming to you a little later than usual this week because after the big jump in diesel prices a couple of weeks ago, I didn't want to record the podcast until we had last week's diesel prices, which were delayed a day due to the President's Day holiday. We'll talk about those in a few minutes, but first let's recap the latest week in the spot market. Load volume in the truckstop.com system rose 4.1%. during the week ended February 12th, which is week six of the year. And that set another record, the fourth of 2021. Total load volume was just shy of double the same 2020 week and was about 168% higher than the five-year average. In this case, we're calculating the five-year average as 2015 to 2019. And the reason for that is that 2020 was so extraordinary that it would sort of throw off the whole point of a five-year average as a norm. Anyway, truck postings were up slightly, just 0.3%. And the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system, rose to the highest level ever, surpassing the market demand index for the last week of 2020. Dry van volume rose 11% week over week. Loads are about 155% higher than the same 2020 week and 173% higher than the five-year average. Volume was about 7% below the record level posted during the first week of the year. Refrigerated loads rose 12.2% to a new all-time high, surpassing the prior record volume that was set the week before Thanksgiving. Refrigerated might be getting a boost from increased demand for insulated trailer equipment as large sections of the nation are experiencing bitterly cold temperatures and have for the last couple of weeks. Refrigerated volume was up about 137% year over year and about 179% above the five-year average. And flatbed loads eased for the second straight week, but only by 0.9%, and that followed an even smaller decline of 0.3% the prior week. And that prior week was an all-time high. Flatbed volume was 74% higher than the same 2020 week, and about 169% above the five-year average. By the way, comparisons to 2020 are going to get tougher for the next 4 weeks as the segment in 2020 was surging at this time, presumably due to robust residential construction. And of course, that all came to an end when the pandemic hit. Finally, let's wrap up that discussion on the spot market talking about rates. The broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel, increased about 2 cents. Rates were about 35% higher than the same 2020 week and about 31% higher than the five-year average. Dry van rates which were up almost 3 cents, were 45% higher year over year. And that's also the percentage higher over last year that refrigerated rates were. And they jumped nearly 14 cents. Flatbed rates, however, were basically unchanged for the second straight week. But they are about 34% higher than the same 2020 week. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel. A couple of weeks ago, the price of diesel was up 6.3 cents for what was the largest increase since September 2019. Last week, the increase was even larger, although it still is the largest only since September 2019. That increase, by the way, which was more than 9 cents, resulted largely due to fears over the supply of petroleum in the aftermath of a small military strike in Saudi Arabia. And that those concerns went away very quickly, and it turned into basically a one-and-a-half-week event. The national average price of on-highway diesel jumped 7.5 cents during the week ended February 15th. Over the past 15 weeks of consecutive increases, the price of diesel has shot up more than 50 cents or more than 21%. The latest weekly average is $2.87.6 cents a gallon, which is the highest price in just under a year, basically 51 weeks. Back in May, diesel prices were running nearly 80 cents below the year earlier price. In the latest week, that difference is just over 1 cent. And even if we see slight decreases in diesel in the coming weeks, prices are about to start running higher year over year, absent some big change in what we're seeing. While diesel has been rising for more than 3 months, the gains during the past couple of weeks have been extraordinarily large. While some of that is just the fact that crude prices are rising more strongly, some of it also is related to the bitterly cold weather that I just talked about earlier when we were discussing refrigerated equipment. That's because in some parts of the U.S., especially in the Midwest and in the Northeast, many homes are still heated using oil furnaces. And the oil that's used to heat those homes comes from the same distillate stock that's used for diesel fuel. Now, does that mean that prices will fall soon, at least back to the levels we saw a couple of weeks ago? Possibly, but there's some other factors to consider. For one, demand has been rising. As noted earlier, volume in spot market freight is at an all-time high. Now, while that does not mean overall freight demand is likewise at a record, we do see some general correlation between spot volume and demand for distillate. And when you have higher demand, you generally see higher prices, unless, of course, crude prices are going in the opposite direction. You can see a plot of spot volume and distillate sales in the presentation accompanying this podcast. Also, crude prices are rising. West Texas Intermediate crude on Friday closed at more than $59 a barrel for the first time since early January 2020, in fact. I always mention what is happening with crude prices, but I usually don't get into the why. The consensus among oil market analysts seems to be that rising prices since early November are based on two things, and there is some connection between those two things. One is an expectation for increased demand for oil due to the rollout of vaccines and also due to likely further stimulus from Washington as a result of the election. The other factor is also related to the election and perhaps much more directly, and that is an expectation that the supply of oil could be constricted because of Biden administration regulation and/or executive action. Okay, one final weekly metric, and that is unemployment benefits. That continues to be a mixed bag. The number of people filing new claims and continuing existing claims in state programs continues to decline modestly. But the latest week saw a very sharp increase in the number of people continuing to receive federal unemployment benefits. Let's back up a bit because I tend to get so focused on the weekly changes that I forget people might not recall the details of the federal unemployment benefit programs, which are not normal. In addition to the state unemployment insurance programs, the CARES Act, which you will all remember from, 10 months ago or so, last year established two federally funded programs. One was the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program, or PEUC, and that covers people who've exhausted their 26 weeks of eligibility under the state programs. The other program is the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, and that covers individuals who are not included in payroll unemployment insurance programs. These would be sole proprietors and independent contractors or so-called gig workers. Continued claims in those two programs have been wildly volatile lately. And that raises questions about whether the data is reflecting a true picture of unemployment or some temporary distortions. After falling by about 4 million in late December, continued claims in PUA and PEUC have risen about 4.8 million since. In the latest week for which data is available, continued claims in those two programs stood at 13.5 million, which is the highest level in 7 weeks. By the way, authorization for those two programs expires in mid-March, and that's probably the deadline for when there is going to be another round of stimulus, because there will certainly be pressure to continue those. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, this was a light week for monthly economic indicators, and in fact, there's really just one I'm going to focus on. It's one we haven't talked a lot about since, I guess, February, and it's what's informally known as the JOLTS report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. JOLT is shorthand for job openings and labor turnover. By the way, this data lags the employment situation report by a month, so the data we just got last week was for December. BLS reported that job openings were up slightly, 1.1% in December, seasonally adjusted. That's the highest level since July. However, job hires fell 6.7% to their lowest level in April, although, to be fair, it's still way above April. The latest gain in total job openings during December, the largest gain, I'm sorry, was in professional and business services, while the largest gain in hires was in retail. And given the pandemic, the situation that we were under late last year and heading into the early part of this year, leisure and hospitality, not surprisingly, recorded the largest declines both in job openings and in hires during December. Now, the JOLT data is not as granular as the payroll data that we get from BLS. So while we talk about, in the so-called jobs report, we talk about truck transportation or for-hire trucking, we talk about couriers and messengers or parcel and local delivery, the closest we can get to that is a category called transportation, warehousing, and utilities. But that's still pretty close, and it is close enough that we can at least glean some broad insights. Job openings did not change that much in the transportation, warehousing, and utilities category in December, but hires were sharply lower from November. But let's put that in perspective. Hires in that category in November were an all-time high, driven, I'm guessing, mostly by what was going on with couriers and messengers. But we don't know for sure. One other interesting factoid about the transportation, warehousing, and utilities is on the layoff side. Layoffs plunged in December to their lowest monthly level since May of 2011. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot market volume set another record. Again, diesel prices rose sharply. Again, data on unemployment programs was mixed. U.S. job openings edged higher in December. Hires in transportation, warehousing, and utilities were down sharply from November's record, and layoffs in transportation, warehousing, and utilities were the lowest in nearly a decade. So that's it for FDR's Trucking Market Update, episode 99 for the week of February 15th, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week for episode 100.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.